Now watch. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. I said, we got to get quiet, but let me show you what has to happen next. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. No, you're not excited enough about that. The Lord rebukes Satan standing over there going, this guy is unworthy. They've been punished by God. That's why they're in exile. He is in no predicament or position to be a priest. The people are going to be lost. If he's the one who does, he is accusing him. He's calling him out. He's yelling in his face. He's whispering in his ear. And the judge says, shut it. The Lord rebuke you. Number one. You got to get in some quiet before the Lord. And number two, you got to quit listening to the lies of the devil. I need a better amen when I try this. I'm going to rewind. You got to quit listening to the lies of the devil. There it is. We need to get quiet so we can hear his voice. And we need to start shutting out, turning off, turning down, and turning away all those lies as they come in. And do you want to know why? Oh, it gets even better. Here it comes. Not only do we need to listen to the voice of truth, but we need to be transformed by that same truth. So everybody say, listen. Everybody say, transform. Here it comes. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. He rebukes him twice. The Lord rebuke you. Shut it. Quit whispering those things in his ears. Quit talking like that to him. Don't you do it. The Lord who has chosen. Everybody say chosen. Do you know what needs to be transformed? Before the second rebuke, he slips this in. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Not you. Not your way. He has chosen. The word in Hebrew for chosen means to choose. Does that help? Understand what he's saying. The God of the universe picked his people. The only reason we're here today, the only reason you're listening to this message, the only reason you care, the only reason I'm preaching, the only reason we're singing is because God revealed himself to us, because he chose us. He appointed it for us before the beginning of everything from the foundations of the earth, that in this moment, in this day, can I get an amen on this side? I like what's going on. That in this moment, in this day, at this time, he has a plan for us. Unfortunately, COVID happened, so, it's all off now. What? What? It did not take him by surprise. He is not thwarted. And we are here today, by the way, some of you, I know, the statistics prove it out. And I believe it's probably worse here than nationally. The statistics prove it out. They say up to 20% of all pastors are trying to get through COVID before they get out of this business because they just can't take it anymore. Don't fly that white flag yet. Can I just share something with you? The white flag is the international symbol of distress and surrender. And in the military, they have never issued a white flag. They don't issue them. Did you know that if you decide to surrender, you have to find some material and make a white flag? That's not like, hey, we're done. Somebody pull out the white flag. There is no white flag. Look at me. We're going to live in truth. And we're going to walk in his truth. And there is no white flag. There will be no white flag. Wait. We're almost there. Here, we're going to listen. Everybody say listen. Now we're going to be transformed. Everybody say transformed. Okay, where does it start? First of all, he chose you. He chose you. You're not here randomly. You're not here for any other reason. No one comes into the Father unless the Father draws them. You're only here because he picked you. You may not have a pick to dodgeball. And you may not have got a pick to the stop-top dance. And if you're like me, I got two dogs at the house, neither one of them picks me. They pick other people. But the God of the universe picked me. He picked me, and he picked you. Chosen. Everybody say chosen. He said, oh, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? If I could have titled it this, I'd have done it. But it would give too much away. Let me tell you, here's the heart of this. You're a brand plus, you're a stick that was in the fire, but God pulled it out before it was consumed. You're a log that was burning away, but He pulled it out because He had other plans for it. Do you know what we are? We are chosen. And yes, we are charred with fire. And we have a history. And we've got some wounds upon us. But He has pulled us. We have been plucked from the fire. Can I get an amen? We've been plucked from the fire. Woo! Time works. I'm preaching better than you're listening. The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Still in the courtroom drama. You're calling him out? God picked him. He got bigger plans for him. Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed in filthy garments. Uh-oh. You know what that means? You can't be a priest if you're not clean. You can't enter the courtyard. You can't enter the holy place. All that stuff the devil was saying? The truth? He's bad. He is unfit. He should not be a priest. Anybody been there before? Anybody been prepping that Sunday morning message? And you heard the prosecuting attorney going, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are they?" And the hard part was, you can quote all scripture you want, but you knew he was right. You knew he was right. I need these. Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." Oh, I'm going to need some love here in just a minute. "Remove the filthy garments from him." And he said to him, "Behold, I have taken away your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with your..." Do you see what's going on here? He's not saying, "Get your act together, go to seminary, make your deal, do something with strength and power. Come on, quicker." No, "I will take those clothes off you, and I will put new clothes on you, and I will put some ornament on you." This is what's true. You are walking truth. You got to listen for the truth. And then you got to be transformed by the truth. You ain't got it. There's nothing. But He will disrobe you and clean you up and put on you what you need. This is it. Look at me. Association, you look at me, Clinio. This is the truth about who you are. Don't listen to the whispers. Don't listen to the doubts. Don't deal with those struggles anymore. Let them all put. Turn them off. Turn them down. Turn them away. God said, "I got something for you to wear." Oh, one more. Oh, I'm having more fun than you are. I can't believe it. And I knew what I was going to say. Come on now. "Behold, I've taken away your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." Which we are told in commentary form that this is most likely an indication that he is being restored to his priesthood. It was an element of something he would wear in priestly garments. So not only was he made right, but now he is commissioned for the work of God. Y'all follow me on this? Here's the truth. You are a hot mess. You're a hot mess. But your hot mess doesn't pull you out of fire. He picked you. He picked you. And He changed you. And He commissioned you. I wish I had time to go into this. I got one more. You are plucked from the fire. How? You got to listen to the voice of truth. You got to be transformed by the voice of truth. I got one more for you, Elizabeth. You got to be empowered by truth. You see, now that He's plucked us from the fire and says, "I got a commissioning for you," now we don't go, "Thank you, Lord, I got it from here." Now is the time we go, "Oh, I was in the fire because I didn't know how to do it in the first place. How about from here on out? You know, you clothed me, and you changed me, and you commissioned me. How about you use me in this moment now?"
And from this point forward, I'm not going to go back to my old ways. I'm not going to think I can do this. I'm not going to say I can get it done. What I'm going to say is I'm broken and I'm lost and I need you, but let's do some amazing things, God. Use me for whatever you want to use me for.
And where do I see this?
So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. That's subtle, but there's two things that just happened there. The previous two times, the angel of the Lord stood before him. He was on trial. The angel of the Lord stood before him. Now, clean vestments, commissioning, he isn't standing before him anymore. He's standing by him. And by the way, somebody's missing. We don't hear from the devil anymore. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Can I get an amen? When he got his head screwed on straight, plucked from the fire, that voice wasn't there anymore because he's listening to truth. And now he is transformed by truth. And now he can operate in the power of the truth.
Last thought. When the angel of the Lord, verse 6, solemnly assured Joshua. Solemnly assured is a rough translation. It's hard because what they do in the Hebrew, a Hebrewism to show emphasis does repetition. It actually says in the Hebrew, and the angel said, and the Lord Almighty said. And so for us to get the meaning of that was that the angel solemnly told him. He's like, hush. Let me tell you what's about to happen. Foothill. Hush. Hush. Let me tell you what's about to happen. When God wants to, let me just explain this. I told you we done 6 minutes ago. I only need an hour more. No, I promise. I'll be done in 6 minutes. I'm on the home stretch here. Here we go. But we are all broken. But we all serve an unbreakable God. My wife and I have been married 26 years. Two great kids, both of them going into the ministry. College students, it's awesome. I sat up on the edge of the bed in my third year of marriage and looked at her and said, I can't stand anymore. You don't love me, I don't love you. We should get a divorce. And you know what her response to me was? Huh. I said, what do you mean, huh? She said, I was there last year, I got over it. I remember standing in the foyer of my very, I've only pastored two places, my seminary church and the church I'm in right now. I remember standing in the foyer of my seminary church, and we had done everything we could on a limited budget to clean up the foyer. There were some chandeliers, the lights had gone bad. I mean, literally, the wires had burned out. We put up some mics. We did what we could. We didn't have money. We couldn't put chandeliers up now, right? We put these up, we painted it, and a woman came up, and that Sunday morning, she took her Bible, and she slapped me in the chest with her big reference Bible. Boom! And she goes, you are the abomination of the devil. And I remember thinking, I don't think that word means what you think it means.
That same church preaching, we had grown from 60, 70 year olds to 430 with an average age of 35. God was doing amazing things. A guy comes up while I'm preaching, grabs a microphone from my hand, and says, what you've done to this church is what the terrorists did to the Twin Towers. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, look at those drums. Drums?
And I watched my 6 month pregnant wife weeping, and I've never done it before, and I'm thank God I've never had to do it since. I sent everybody home. Church is over. The spirit is broken. Guys, I've been there. I've been there when the marriage is bad. I've been there when the church ministry is bad. I've been there when we got no money. I've been there when you put more in the plate than they're giving you in the salary. You know what those days are? Those are days of tribulation. Those are the days when God can surpass your understanding and do some amazing. So, I'm about to show you what God can do. Here it is. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua. Thus says the Lord. Oh, you got to love a thus says the Lord. Amen?
Thus says the Lord of hosts, if, everybody say if, this is a conditional covenant, this is on us, this is what we do. If you will walk in my ways and keep my charge. That's what he asks. Not if you will be a superstar, not if you will be extremely talented, not if you will hustle and jive and get it done. If you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my court. Listen here, I've got a ministry for you, and I'm not asking you to be special, I'm asking you to be mine. That would be good enough, but it gets even better. You ever notice that when you make a deal with God, you always get the better part of the deal? If you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my court, and I will give you the right of access amongst those who are standing near. Where was he? He was standing in the courts of heaven. He was standing amongst the heavenly host. And what did he say? If you will walk in my ways, I will give you a ministry, and you will guard this house, and you will have access to heaven itself for what you need to get the job done. Woo! You probably got more money than I do, because that's exciting to me. You probably got more strength than I do, but that's exciting to me. That the promise was this. You walk in my way. You walk in my way. I give you full access to the throne room of grace. And I know what you're thinking. I was thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Why? Have you ever looked around and said, why would God ever? I know who I am, and I'd pick anybody else. Why? I don't know why I picked you. I mean, I'm looking at you. I wouldn't have picked you either. I don't know why he picked me. But I do know this. He did pick you. He's good to follow through. You want to know why? You want to know why? Because God deserves the glory that he's going to bring upon himself. Let me show you something. If you got the Bible, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. Verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you. He's talking to the heavenly host. You and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are assigned. Behold, I will bring my servant. Amen. Capital B. You know who that is? Church, you know who that is? I'm going to ask for, this is a fill in the blank. I'm going to say, and then you tell me, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? The reason that he's willing to follow, the reason that we know he'll use us, why would he back down? This is a ministry for his son, his chosen, the branch of David. This is the one, and the promise is that when we do this, we glorify the name of Jesus. We glorify the name of Jesus. We live high the name of Jesus. And here's what he says. I'm not going to follow. This is the sign. These men, the whole heavenly host, we've been waiting for this. Get up there and tell them, I'm going to use you to lift up Jesus. Live there. Don't live in the COVID bubble, the Fox News cycle bubble. Don't let that whisper. Live there. Right there. Live in truth. And never forget, truth is a person. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment, and I pray that we would leave this place later fully engulfed in the flames of your Spirit, broken and weeping over our inadequacy, but thrilled beyond thrilled at the choosing that you have for us. God, may we see more than we ever hoped or dreamed or imagined. Not because of us, but because of the choice in Christ when we pray. And all God's people say.